leads to our first agenda item, our session on effects analysis. So Roberta Ravelli will lead us through this topic. Just before she starts, though, I will do a brief introduction to the session. So slide two, which is not yet up there, but to me that when we get to it, you've got it in your papers, will very, very clearly sets out the objective of this session. The Foundation is seeking our advice on whether and what any changes to the effects analysis process might be to ensure that the process both achieves its objectives and is done effectively. A very, very important topic for us because of the significance of the effects analysis in the standard setting process, analysing the likely effects of standards. And timely because of the imminent review of the due process handbook. So how does the effects analysis to fit into that? So Roberta is going to tee up this session before we move into breakout groups. She's going to provide some background and amplify the questions raised for our consideration. If there are questions or comments during this session that you'd like to make in the plenary session as opposed to in your breakout groups, we'll deal with those before we move into our breakout groups. Roberta, it's all yours.
Thank you, Joanna, and good morning to everybody. So as Joanna said, in this session today, we are seeking your advice on our process to assess the effect of new accounting requirements. And in particular, we are seeking your advice on how we can improve the effectiveness of our effect analysis. For example, by focusing on different aspects that maybe would enable us to use less time and less resources. So the assessment of the effect is part of our standard setting process in order to conclude that the change in accounting is justified. Justified means that there is a deficiency or a need for change, and the benefit of fixing this deficiency through a particular change in accounting outweighs the cost of this change for users and preparers of financial statement. And it is a good timing to review if our process is effective or can be improved, because we have recently published comprehensive effect analysis for two major projects, like IFRS 16 for leases and IFRS 17 for insurance contract. And those comprehensive effect analysis reflect the recommendation that we received a few years ago when we carried out the last review. And the role of the effect analysis in the standard setting process, together with content and its focus, is also regularly debated by standard setters, regulators, and academics. And there are mixed views. For example, some think that our responsibility is only to consider the effect on the financial statements of companies reporting under IFRS standards, while others think that we should also quantify macroeconomic effects in different countries. And as Joanna said, given that we are undertaking a review of our new process handbook, we are looking for input on the effect analysis part of our due process, so that if there are any changes, those changes can be incorporated in the new version of the due process handbook. So the presentation under Agenda Paper 1 provides some information about our existing process and our recent experience, including some examples of how this process has been applied in practice. I'm not going to present each single slide in the presentation because the slides only provide the background for the questions that you will discuss during the breakout session later. But I wanted just to highlight a few aspects that I think might be useful for the discussion later. When we talk about effect analysis, we talk about the process for assessing the effect. So in some cases, this results in the publication of a formal report that is also called effect analysis, and this was the case for IFRS 16 and IFRS 17 that I just mentioned, and these two projects are presented in the slide as an example of recent experience. But in other cases, the assessment of the effect is included in other due process document. So as I said, the assessment of the effect is part of our standard setting process, and the requirement for a cost-benefit analysis are included in our due process and book, which set out some key principles. So the analysis of cost and benefit should be performed throughout the development of new or amended standard. So it is not just at the final stage. It is an ongoing assessment. And it should be mainly qualitative, as often the effects differ by company, by jurisdiction, and sometimes we can go to jurisdiction-specific considering the number of jurisdictions that now use IFRS standards. Also, the level of analysis should be proportionate to the type of change, with more analysis undertaken for new standards and major amendments. A report issued by the Effect Analysis Consultative Group in 2014 further clarified the role of the effect analysis in our due process by confirming that the analysis should focus on the effect on the financial statements and on the improvements in terms of transparency and quality of financial information, improvements that should outweigh the cost for preparers and users of financial statement. While we should not focus on assessing any possible broader economic effects, like job losses in a particular industry, because these are beyond our objectives. And when assessing the benefit, the report recommended that we should focus on comparability, transparency, and more in general, in the quality of financial information for the benefit of investors and analysts. We should consider how transparency contributes to long-term financial stability, as we did for IFRS 17, for example, when we consider that by revealing useful information, transparency enables action to be taken in a timely way. But ensuring financial stability is not the main objective of financial reporting. And finally, the Effect Analysis Consultative Group clarified that the format of the analysis should be different at different stages of the project to develop new or amended standards. So the recommendation and the requirements in the due process and book have been reflected in the effect analysis that we perform in the last few years. And in the presentation, we are reporting some example of timing, format, and content of the analysis performed when developing IFRS 16, IFRS 17, as well as the amendment to IFRS 4. Going to the question for you today. So today we are seeking your advice on how we can perform effect analysis in a more effective way. And this is the overall question for you. For a practical discussion in the breakout session, we have developed four more detailed questions for you to consider regarding what the scope, the timing, and the content of the effect analysis should be, as well as the methodology that we should use to assess cost and benefit. In discussing those four questions, we ask you to keep in mind some important factors that are listed in this slide. First of all, what is our mission statement, and therefore, which are our main responsibilities when developing IFRS standards? Then our limitations, particularly in terms of time and resources, and also the fact that often inputs are needed from third parties to determine the effect of changes. For example, through field tests or case study, where companies help us assessing the practical implication of new accounting requirements, and it's important to remember that they do that on a voluntary basis. And finally, the fact that our assessment should necessarily be global, and there is a large number of jurisdictions that use IFRS standard at present. So if you have any questions or comments on agenda paper one in preparation for the breakout discussion, I'm happy to take them now.
So are there questions before we move on? And for those new members, I think I said it yesterday, if you wish to talk, it is sticking up your, just like Stephen has there. So Stephen, Over to you.
It's just a brief comment. I've read the consultative group paper and I found it very, very good and had a lot of very detailed points. What I would have liked to see is actually analysis for 16 and 17 as to did we actually follow not word for word, but did we follow that report? And were there any things we found that didn't work or we had to do differently so that we actually understand sort of the background now as to how these are going to be done? Because, I found that report fairly comprehensive, and I thought it was a very good attempt to do probably what we're doing now. But I'd be intrigued to see, did we actually follow it point by point, and were there issues as in doing that? Did it work?
Yes, actually the effect analysis for IFRS 16 and 17 were the first analysis published after that report, and I personally check point by point in that effect analysis report to see if all the points were incorporated. In part, that report only detail the key principle in the due process handbook, and in some cases it highlight important factors to consider, and they are all reflected in the document. So I agree that report is very comprehensive, and the key recommendations have been reflected.
So Roberta, just to extend that and asking for your opinion now, in your view, were there any bits, if you like, out of that report or that were done for 16 and 17 that you believed caused problems or were difficult or didn't work, that therefore the groups can actually think about during the discussions?
I don't think that there was anything that was out of place, because the working group was composed by people actually working in national standard setter or regulators, and so people that really know how the effect analysis is used and what should focus on. I think that the report was structured in a way that included some recommendation on top, and then it repeated the same recommendation in a more detailed phase. But one of the main recommendations was to publish a separate report, and is what we did for IFRS 16 and IFRS 17. And it's probably useful when we talk about a major project with such a large impact on companies. I wonder personally if it would be the case for minor amendment or other projects. So I think that not necessarily everything should be on a separate report. But we try, I think, for the first time with 16 and 17, and I think that worked well. But then we need to think about the future and if we should repeat the same effort or we can find a way to reach exactly the same objective in a different way, so using less time and resources. It's just my personal view.
Hans, do you have any comments in relation to what did work well or didn't, in addition to what Roberta said on 16 and 17 following those reports, or that report?
I think the effect analysis handbook worked pretty well. I think we may have been a little bit more, especially with IFRS 17, where everybody's always talking about the economic effects of a standard or the effects on financial stability. I think we have been a bit more generous in looking at those effects than the handbook would require us to do. But we have certainly not been hindered by the handbook.
Okay, very good question, Stephen, and thank you, Roberta and Hans, for giving that little bit more background, because I think that will help the groups in the discussion. And I think I'm right in saying that each of the breakout groups actually has a staff member in there who will be able to amplify a little more on some of those facts about what did happen. Any other questions before we break? Who is that? Suresh, down the end? Sorry, my eyesight is not terribly good.
Curious to know if there are already some feedback available with the staff, either appreciations or areas of improvement, and if they can be shared.
Well, Roberta I mean, you've obviously made some comments, you know, around your personal views. Are there any others that, in terms of sharing, as to from the experience of the staff doing this?
Maybe just a comment on the quantification of the effect. That is also a point that we'll be covering in the breakout session in terms of question. I think that in some cases there were suggestions that we should try to quantify effects, so not just to focus on the qualitative discussion. But the quantification of the effect, particularly when we talk about cost and benefit, is extremely subjective. So it's not that we don't want to quantify as much as possible. We have included quantification, particularly for the IFRS 16 effect analysis, because the information were available in company financial statements, so we were able to do that. But in other cases, it's not possible, or it is not useful, because only tell information about a specific situation, a specific company, or a specific example. So just in terms of suggestion about the quantification is something that is extremely complex to do, and I wonder what is then the usefulness to do that, given that should be applicable in limited circumstances.
Which is something that I hope the representative from EFREC cannot.
Jean-Paul, he's not here yet.
Okay. But so EFREC has done for leases a more or less quantitative study about the costs of implementation, and also some quantitative analysis, I believe, on the benefits. It's doing a similar exercise on insurance. We find that very difficult, also because when you look in practice that all these companies that are being involved do it on the basis of estimates of costs. And there seems to be like an inverse relationship between the enthusiasm for the standard and the estimation of the cost of the standard. So I would also be interested to find out from EFREC how comfortable they feel with their quantification of these issues.
Okay, well, on that, then we might break into our groups. Oh, sorry, as is. Apologies, I missed you. Straight in front of me.
I just would like to maybe be a little bit tough with us. Are we well positioned, being part of the process, to evaluate our own efficiency? Because, you know, we are part of the chain, of a value chain. Wouldn't it be better to have a totally independent body do respond to this question, to this query?
Are you saying us here as the advisory council, or are you saying in terms of actually getting an external party to do the effects analysis?
My concern is that if we are part of the process...
We being the advisory council?
Yeah, sure.
And I guess in all of these things, what we are external people, we are part of the foundation process, giving advice, not part of the effects analysis itself. And what we are able to do, because of all of the areas, different representative bodies that we come from and our different experiences, is bring 50 different experiences to bear and thought processes and strategic thinking to assist the foundation and Roberta and her team in particular to think about this area. So I certainly believe that the input that we can give is very valuable. If something was completely broken, or, you know, it needed an external review, then that would happen. And it may be that, I doubt it personally, but it may be that some of the groups say, hey, it's so broken that it needs to have an external review. But as we said, the previous review of the group was there. So I'm certainly comfortable that it is appropriate for this group, and we can offer some really good advice to the foundation. It will obviously, well, and I would say, in fact, we're not part of the process, as is. The whole point of us being here is we are external to the process. Okay, if there's nothing else, then we might move into our breakout groups. And you know, and to me, some of the key things that have come out from what Roberta have said and from the discussion that just round here is to really think about, in particular, you know, what the purpose of the effects analysis is, and it's not supposed to cover the overall effect of the standard in terms of the broad economic consequences. However, if we think that maybe it should, then maybe we should be talking about that. The whole question about qualitative versus quantitative, as we've talked about, how do you actually determine what the costs are? And then effectively, how can we, that key core question on slide 25 around improve the effectiveness, scope, timing, content, and methodology. I'd like each group to attempt or look at each of the four questions. I think we probably should all do them in order. I think one of the really key things, and Roberta went through what she wants us to consider in answering the questions, to me, one of the really important things that we think about, and we're all, or most of us are from commercial backgrounds, is that we think about the practicality and feasibility of what we are recommending or thinking about in terms of that advice, because there are limited resources. What is it that we're trying to achieve with those limited resources? So, you know, is it practical what we come up with as a suggestion? We don't want and I will say it and probably get a hand slap for saying it, an academic thesis on what an effects analysis should be. It's the practical feasibility of what we think the foundation should be doing. On that note, if we go into our breakout groups and you have in your pack of information a schedule of the breakout groups and where you are meeting, and each of the groups has a chair allocated and a facilitator who will be one of the senior staff involved, and then a technical associate who will be compiling notes for the chair. And just as a reminder to the chairs, as we did at the last meeting for the first time, and you'll see those seats up there behind, that when we come to report back, we're not going to do it group by group by group. I'm going to sit up there with the four of you and grill you in terms of what you came up with in your groups and challenge you as to why you came up with that. So that's the role, that's how we're going to do the report back. But the technical associates will very much get notes